we need to readjust our vision according to the truth that you and I live under the law of sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, welcome back to Contemplata, a podcast for those thirsting for a drink from the fountain of light on high. Our topic today is the law of sacrifice. God has stamped his image in the depths of our hearts, and God is ever at work in us so that our hearts come to shine with his light, burn with his love, and live something of his own divine life. To accomplish this work in our hearts, God has given us the Eucharist. More than anything else, it is the Eucharist that sanctifies the soul and transforms our hearts into living reflections of the living God. But how does the Eucharist work such wonders in us? The short answer is that the Eucharist is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself. Most people in the Western world today are unaccustomed to thinking of worship in terms of offering sacrifice to God. But that is exactly what true worship is. The worship of God in spirit and in truth consists of offering sacrifice to God. But sacrificial worship has now become so unfamiliar to people, we need to pause with the topic of sacrifice for a few episodes. Basically, we need to readjust our vision according to the truth that you and I live under the law of sacrifice. The law of sacrifice is a certain law of nature, a little bit like the law of gravity, but it is a law of human nature in particular. Basically, it is a law of human nature that we want to offer our hearts to God. That statement probably comes as a surprise. Agnosticism and atheism have now spread widely enough in our society that we might think atheism and agnosticism are the default position of the human heart. But they are not. When we look at the big picture of human society down through history, we see that almost all people, in almost all places, are religious in one way or another. It is rather the contemporary lack of any religious attitude that is the aberration. It's odd and unusual. Deep down, we human beings naturally know, if only vaguely, that God is real, and we naturally desire to give our hearts to God. The original sin of the first human beings has, in some ways, distorted our knowledge of the divine and diverted our desire to give our hearts to God. And our personal sins have obscured things still more. But sin has not simply destroyed our human nature. We naturally know God is real, and it is a law of our human nature to thank God for all the blessings he has given us. Every breath we take and every beat of our hearts is his gift to us from one moment to the next. And the only appropriate response is gratitude to God. But there is more to say. Not only do we want to give our hearts to God, we also want to give God a sign or expression of the gift of our hearts to him. When human beings love each other, they show their love for one another in various words and gestures. They say, "I love you." They give gifts and cards and rings to each other. So too it is between human beings and God. Human beings naturally try to show God their love for him with some gesture or sign. And this is the meaning of sacrifice as we are using the term here. A sacrifice is primarily an inward offering of one's heart to God. But it is also an outward gesture or sign of the inward gift of one's heart to God. The inward gift of one's heart to God is sometimes called a spiritual sacrifice. The outward sign or gesture, which expresses the inward spiritual sacrifice, is sometimes called the outward act of sacrifice. And in every outward act of sacrifice, there is also a thing offered. Let's take an example. In the Old Testament, the priests offered spiritual sacrifice to God by offering their hearts to God. But to make the gift of their hearts real, so to speak, they also performed outward acts of sacrifice in various gestures. They made cereal offerings or slaughtered bullocks or lambs, and so on. In every case, they offered a thing to God. For example, a Passover lamb. When the priests of the Old Testament did all these things, they were carrying out a very human activity. Why say so? Down through the centuries, in many lands throughout the world, human beings have offered sacrifice of various kinds. It is a common human phenomena. The many systems of pagan sacrifice, for example, testify that human beings have a common and deep instinct for sacrifice. Pagan sacrifices, of course, are based on ignorance and confusion about God. They are offerings misdirected to false gods. But the phenomenon of pagan sacrifice shows nonetheless that we human beings have written into our hearts a desire to give God a gesture of love and thanksgiving, to offer sacrifice to God. It is just the law of sacrifice. The law of sacrifice written into our being tells us we are bound to offer sacrifice to God in some way or another, and we know it. The desire is susceptible to distortion, obviously, but it is basically natural and good. The big question is, how? What form of sacrifice is the one that the living and true God really wants from us? Human beings do not know how to answer the question by our own lights. Reason can teach us such things as mathematical truths and basic moral truths, but reason cannot teach us what outward form of sacrifice really pleases God. Rather, God alone can tell us. It was for this purpose, in order to teach human beings how to worship Him aright, that God called the patriarchs of old, established the covenants, and laid down the law of Moses with all of the many sacrificial rites. It was all a course of divine instruction in right worship. The lessons were gradual and unfolded over centuries. God taught the people of Israel not only to offer Him sacrifice, but specifically how to do so. His course of instruction served to heal, to some extent, our natural, wholesome, and good desire to offer sacrifice to God. And it began to liberate that desire from the misdirected sacrifices of paganism. Most importantly, though, the sacrifices of the Old Testament were a prefiguration and preparation for a better sacrifice yet to come. They foretold the one form of sacrifice that would in the end truly please God. The last lesson of God's course of instruction and its ultimate fulfillment came in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus revealed that the one form of sacrifice that would truly please God was not any of those we come up with by our own lights as the pagans try to do in their sacrifices, nor is it any of the sacrifices laid down in the law of Moses, but the sacrifice that He Himself, Jesus Christ, would offer. Jesus Christ is the eternal high priest, and the one sacrifice that truly pleases God is Jesus Christ's gift of Himself to the Father in the Spirit on Calvary. The Eucharist we celebrate in our churches is a sacrifice indeed, but not a new or additional sacrifice to that of Jesus Christ. The Eucharist is, rather, the same sacrifice as Jesus Christ, the one true sacrifice that saves the world. How it can be so is a mystery indeed, and we will ponder that mystery in the next couple of episodes. In the meantime, let us keep the eyes of our hearts fixed on Jesus. Thank you for listening to this episode of Contemplata. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.